The price of him whom they prized of the children of Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Usually it's customary to begin by saying, Reverend Fathers, and then my dear friends in Christ. But I think that by beginning, my dear church workers, I've caught everyone because I put all the priests to work tonight. They're either serving on the altar, God love them, or singing or playing the organ in the back. And just as all of you in different ways are always working, God love you for all that you do for St. Gertrude the Great Church. And we are all of us every Sunday and all of the great feast days united in performing together, according to God's will, the great common work, the sacred liturgy, which is ours, which is the vision of heaven itself, the worship of Almighty God. This it is that fuels us, that keeps us going always. Appreciation. We have our appreciation dinner tonight. I was thinking of the word, its dictionary meaning. It means highly to prize someone or something, and thankfully so. And then I was thinking of its etymology or its source, and the strangest thought came to my mind, an unusual scriptural citation in this connection, which takes us all the way from Epiphany, Christmas, to Palm Sunday, and the Passion, Holy Week. Jeremiah the prophet, his words are cited by St. Matthew in the Passion read that day. Whom they prized, he wrote, whom they prized of the children of Israel, the prophecy concerning our Lord. God loves, and he always sends us, good souls who are willing to do golden deeds of love and of loyalty. They're not always prized by man, the children of men, but they're precious in God's eyes, and they earn, these souls do, a choice place. Not that it's all that crowded, but still, yours is the choice place, by the crib or by the cross, and certainly in his heart and that of his mother. I think that only once in our church history did we ever manage to do a proper Christmas pageant. Somewhere or another, I came across once some very cute pictures of little children way back when. Of course, in the nature of things for a church or for a school, they're all gone up and grown up and gone away now. But I think we never did another church pageant after that, because after a Christmas at St. Gertrude the Great, we realize, well, that's pageant enough. That is to say, Christ's Mass, with its preparation and decoration and celebration and the divine office and all of the rest of it, that's plenty of pageant. And it's not play, or rather, it is the sacred play which is so pleasing to our Lord, the Holy Child. And in this pageant, little children have their full and their honored role. And in this pageant, I've been thinking this week, you, even though we're the pastors, you're the shepherds. That's your role, your prized shepherds. You keep watch and you wait willingly with the sheep, and you willingly offer your sleep and your children to the Christ child. And we're, in this pageant, we, the clergy, we're the angels. Oh, we're not always angels, that is true. Sometimes that charitably pointed out to us. We do have our faults, it's been known to happen. But heaven sends us to earth to call all the ends of the earth to come with gifts, to come quickly, to come and adore, to hear God's glory sung by other angels, and peace on earth proclaimed. But there's a price to men of good will. What do the angels first do when they come at Christmas or at Easter? Their first job is a sincere nolite timere, fear ye not. Because people do take fright easily, and they fall off or they fade away, which is why loyalty, day in and day out stability, is such a precious commodity, and we prize it so. I think we know its value. So in our pageant, the priest gets to be the angel. And it is only right, isn't it? Remember what St. Francis of Assisi said. Should he meet at the same time an angel and a priest, he'd leave the angel waiting and bow first to the priest. Because, the Curé of Ars explains, the angel is God's friend, but the priest takes God's place. The pageant continues. It is Epiphany. And now, in this new act, you get to be the wise men, the kings, from all over, traveling from afar, with your gifts, following that star, and being willing to make every sacrifice necessary. And why should you not offer your gifts? Has he not given you the best of all? Has not our Lord made you to share by your baptism in his own threefold role? And it's not play acting. You are priest and prophet and king with Christ. You are a priest. You are privileged to offer your sacrifice each day in union with his. That's the incense or the frankincense that you bring. Worship. Perfect worship when joined with Christ's. And then you are a prophet. It's the job of a prophet to tell the truth, God's truth, here and now about present or future events, whether or not people want to hear it. So myrrh is for prophets with its bitter perfume. And kings, all of you have come crowned into church this evening. Only since once you're in church, you do a bit as all of the nobility does in England. When the king or queen gets crowned, they all take off their coronets. So do we. And as kings, we glory in offering the gold of our obedience, of our homage to the King of Kings, and we're happy to do so. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, if you get to be the kings, we are the star. Oh, not in the sense of rock stars. I don't think we really need any of these in church. Inevitably, of course, the priest sometimes serves as a certain center of attention, sometimes for adulation, always. It never ceases to surprise me, but it's so. Always for speculation. And sometimes for, end of the day, condemnation or canonization. And when you get up in the morning, you're never sure how your day is going to end. But you do know this, that the good Lord sort of balances it. And something like a hamburger you get flipped over at a certain point, or like St. Lawrence on the grill. You're cooked enough on one side, so let's try a little something else now. Now, priests, it's easy to forget this when we live in the present, but we're prophets. We see the future. Priests come and go. They always have, and they always will. Our job is just this, to light his way for the coming of the light of this world, so that we, those who follow us wisely with gifts, can make their way to Bethlehem to find the bread of life and the light of this life. If the priest has to be in our little pageant, the star, because who else would light up the dark night? If we disappear, woe betide you. Remember what happened to the wise men. For a while, the star disappeared, and they got lost right away, and they wandered into Jerusalem, not a place where you'd want to be, with the murderous old King Herod and the Kaduk, the dead high priesthood of the Jews that had nothing to offer them as they were looking for the king. That reminds me of what the Curia of Ars said, leave a parish without a priest for 20 years and they'll worship beasts. But if we're stars, having done our job and led our kings to find the King of Kings, then at some point it's very good for a star to be lost. I remember once visiting this country of Argentina in South America, near Cordoba, where some of the fathers have a little church and school. And we went out one night, and there wasn't, a cloud in the sky. And I've never seen so many stars in all of my life. It was magnificent. All of those stars, each one, think of how much light it could give. But now they were all together and lost in this field of stars, the sky. That's where a star should be happiest to rest amongst others and lost as he lights up the way still, lest others should be lost. But you know, even stars fall sometimes, and it's a Catholic custom when you see a falling star to make the sign of the cross. Father has just now announced to us beautifully the coming feast days that will keep us busy, you and me, dear church workers and you worshipers and the rest, that will keep us busy all the way through, did he say, the 3rd of June, and it's only now the beginning of January. Come, let us go together. We lead you because we love God and we love you. And this is the same reason, I think, why you follow us with gifts. We both love Jesus and Mary very much. The old faith, the old and eternal covenant, the church, the Mass, unchanging and unchangeable. But you know, we lean upon you, even as we summon you to come and see this thing that has come to pass, to kneel down, to rumble around in your bag, and then, there it is, to find the gift you've prepared for the child, for the king, and to offer it. On this happy 12th night of prizing, of appreciation, we, the angels and the stars, we weep and we wonder at how willingly you shepherds and kings get up and go with your gifts always in hand, always something more to give as you get to where Jesus is. Jesus, whom we all together have prized above all of the children of Israel. God bless you and thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.